Welcome to The Partnership Path, the podcast that empowers you to unlock your full potential in partner management. Gain invaluable insights from industry experts, discover proven strategies, and learn how to navigate real-world challenges. Join our community by subscribing now and start your journey to partnership success.
Well, good morning, Tony, and welcome to another episode of The Partnership Path. Happy to have you here today.
I'm glad to be here. I don't know if we're allowed to break the sort of fourth wall or whatever, or if I'm allowed to reference this, but I see the branding on the wall now, John.
We're trying to be a bit more official. I even have a whole new environment this season, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm not sitting in front of my desk. You know why we changed that, right? I got some feedback from some of our listeners that it looks too old man-ish. To which I said, I am an old man. I am an old man sitting in an office. So anyway, we're trying to be, more hip, more, I don't know, Gen Z, millennial, Gen Y. I don't know who we're trying to aim for, but, I'm glad you like it.
So I'm making an effort. I got a new headset. It apparently uses jawbone vibration or something. So I'm trying to be more technologically hip.
That's not so bad. I didn't even notice that. Now that you say that, I'm like, yeah, I can't even see it. It's very flush against your face. Mm. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, this episode, we thought we would focus on that kind of challenging scenario of getting the partner sales team sort of prepared and motivated to help the partnership and to do that internally for your own sales team, right? To get both sales teams prepared and motivated to sell whatever the partnership is taking to market. I know you've got some experience in this. In fact, you've probably got some horror stories to tell about this. I'd love to kind of start with, share some Tony wisdom about that challenge.
Yes, always got a horror story. And I think it's interesting how different sales teams are. So in working with one partner, it was, for example, pay to play with their telesales team. So they say, you can talk to my sales floor, but it's going to cost you this, and I will tell them to listen to you. So there's that function. Then there is when you go into a room, as I did, with a partner who had many, many account managers over the space of a couple of years. It's always an issue with partners where they go, oh, here comes another one. Right. Here comes another account manager. And I thought that was the biggest challenge. So I said, I'm going to be here for 2 years. And I wasn't. I was there for about 6 months. So they went, okay, proved your point again. But actually, had I thought about what their biggest priority might have been, it wouldn't have been how long are you going to be here? It would have been, how are you going to help me hit my quota? So I only made that mistake once, And then there are those for whom, when you take that approach, there was a sales manager I worked with. He said, I've got this one big issue. If you can fix this one big issue, you can go speak to anyone in my sales team. So I fixed the issue, earned my stripes that way. And the sales team saw I was an effective problem solver, connector, access to resource for them.
Yeah. So, I think you really, you hit the nail on the head with, this is really about understanding what those salespeople care about, whatever the environment is, right? I mean, you've got kind of gatekeeper stuff sometimes you got to get through, right? Pay to play, the guy who wanted you to solve a problem before you could do it. But then when you're there, then you've got to be super focused on what matters to them, which is most often, how do you help me retire my quota So is what you're bringing to the table going to help me get closer to my number? And can I make money on it? You know, like even if it retires quota, if I don't get paid on it, that's not helpful. Or if it's selling way more of somebody else's stuff and only a little of my stuff, then maybe, you know, how do you help kind of balance that out? And I think a lot of channel managers, partner managers, when they finally get in front of those sales teams, they spend a lot of time talking about how great the solution is or how much customers are going to love it or whatever. And while that's kind of helpful, it doesn't really make me as a sales rep listen. I'm going to listen when you say, hey, here's how I can help knock 15% off your quota, or here's how I can help you make your quarterly number or what. Like, then I'm going to be like, oh, okay, talk to me.
Now I'm listening.
And I think that also includes the other challenge I think a lot of channel managers have is putting together sort of the business case of here's where my solution fits, right? Like, here's the target market. Here's the target customer. Here's who this thing should be going after, so that reps can start to kind of understand where it fits in their territory plan or their account management plan of, right? Because everyone's already got one, right? When you walk in the room, every one of those sales reps already has sort of a plan of how they're going to get to their number. And there's a gap. I mean, most of them have a gap of, like, I know how I'm going to get to 75%, but that last 25%, I still got to find. And I think that's your challenge is how do I make my stuff help them make that gap?
So, and I think just thinking about what you had to say there, there is that element of understanding where your solution fits in the wider context of a customer environment and how your partner's services, solutions, hardware, whatever they're going to wrap around that comes into play. So,
yeah,
it's about much more than saying, this is what we're launching.
Yeah.
So you must.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nuance, right? But it's critical, right? If you get that wrong, you're not going to get anywhere. Mm. And you are 100% right on the whole issue of if it's me as the vendor channel manager talking to the partner sales team, and what they're selling is something that wraps around what my vendor product is, I have to talk about how that product, because they don't care about the commission on that product. They care about their stuff. They care about their services because that's how they get comped, or they care about their platform or their application or their hardware that they're going to wrap around it. That's what they care about. And if you don't know how $1 of your stuff drives whatever number of dollars of their stuff, and you can't talk to that, you're not getting their attention. They're not going to listen.
No. And so when we were talking in our last series, we did touch upon that, you know, what you compensated on. So how might we broaden that out in the context of, you know, thinking about a sales rep and the different, I guess, revenue streams, margin, you know, instances they might need to light up. I'm trying to think about how we might construct that conversation.
Well, I mean, I think first it starts with that transparency, right? Of actually asking whoever it is you're working with what the sales team compensation model looks like. And then working with your counterpart to put together essentially a value prop for the sales team, right? Yeah. I mean, this is internal selling. And I mean, so far we've been focused on I'm the vendor channel manager kind of trying to sell the partner sales team, right, on how to do it. But that applies internally as well. I got to convince my internal sales team why they should include my partner's stuff when they sell our stuff, even though they are maybe not getting paid on it. But how does that help advance their quota retirement? How does that help advance their spiffs or whatever might be available to them?
Yeah. And I think one element in that is that, are you easy to work with, or is that, can you make that partner easy to work with? So having done that, presenting a partner internally into a vendor. And I remember I had one partner that was really unpopular. They were like, no, nobody wants to deal with them. But because I figured out a way to make them really easy to work with, I was like, this is it. And it fits within our campaign framework, and it fits within these different, you know, products that we needed to sell, light up. That's how you can, I guess, uniquely make that relationship happen, because the easier it is, the more likely you are to kind of
There's a lot of false perceptions too, right? I think lots of organizations think that their sales, like their salespeople, think that they're way better at selling than any other sales team in the world, right? And so they don't want to have to work with, you know, a subpar sales team, right? And so they're like, I'm not selling that stuff because those guys don't know what they're doing. And so I think you also kind of have to help educate them on, you know, the realities of that scenario, which is a little bit of leveling, like, you're not as good as you think you are, and they're actually better than you think they are. And no, maybe you're not the same, but you're probably close enough to be able to work together effectively and help each other make some money. Right. I mean, ultimately that's how salespeople think. I mean,
it's true.
It's not quite as coin operated as it used to be, but I mean, you don't get into sales because, you know, money's not a factor. It's at least some sort of a factor.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's kind of that's why you're remunerated on the kind of, you know, deals you're involved in. So what would be, we talked about the kind of getting a plan around the offering together. So you say a value proposition. So you may have one that presents externally and then one that presents
And those
internally.
They're different value props.
And the key is to...
Look, I think this is one of those places where there's a ton of creativity here. Like, I think people do this a whole lot of different ways. I part of the reason on this episode I wanted to start by hearing some of your stories is because I think, to your point, every partner is different. And there are different hurdles that you got to get over to get there. And then there's the value prop story, which has to be different for everybody. I'm super anxious to hear what people in our community are doing. Like, how are they getting over some of those hurdles?
Yeah.
What are some of the unique value propositions that they get together, that they've put together? What are some of the kind of aha moments that they had in some of that trying to sell internally? Because I mean, I know our community, there's a lot of really bright people out there that have done some really great stuff around this. I know that because what we teach is based on what we've learned from those people. And so I'd love to have them come on and talk a little bit about how they're kind of getting over that preparing, motivating the sales team's hurdle.
That's the next In Real Life episode then, John. We need, we want someone to come on and share how
time
they
to raise
that
your
happen.
Hand. We're listening. Yes. All right. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, John.
Thank you for joining us today. Remember, you have the potential to shine in the world of partner management. But don't stop here. Subscribe, reflect, and help us redefine the essence of partnership excellence. Until next time.